Well, it is a blessing to be able to be back at Allen Ford. Appreciate God's blessings and strength in our lives and watching over us and caring for us. And what an honor it is to live in a country to where that we can boldly stand and proclaim the name of Jesus, magnify His name. Now, I know that everything is not just perfect in America, but I don't know of any other country. I've only been in three other countries besides the U.S., but I didn't have any desire to stay.
Right.
I enjoyed visiting, but I was ready to come back home.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that I could. And we need to respect our country and honor our country and do what we can to keep it or to get it going in the right directions. Certainly there's many things that could be improved. You know, there's things that could be improved in my life.
Sure.
And if I would improve some of the things in my life, if I would improve some of the things in my worship, do you know it would help America?
Right.
Because America is helped individually. It's not just a thing like this. Our nation needs good, strong, godly people.
Amen.
Good, strong, godly people make good, strong, godly homes and good, strong, godly churches.
Amen.
And certainly if you go back through history and you read about the things in our founding fathers' time, if you will, back when I was young, if you read back in some of those times, you'd be amazed at, if you can get the truth, you'd be amazed what the Baptist preachers and Baptist people did to bring our country to a good start.
Amen.
And certainly when our nation was founded, it was not founded just for monetary reasons, but for religious reasons, freedom of religion, if you will, and thank God for that. I would like to have preached you a message today along this line, but that's not the direction that the Lord has led me. And so I'm going to do what He says rather than what I maybe would want to do. So if you have your Bibles while you're still standing, let's look at Genesis chapter 22 and at a few verses here. Very familiar scripture, and I hope that the Lord will bless the reading of His Word and then the thoughts that would be said upon this, that He would get glory. I do appreciate our son Farrell, your pastor, invited me to preach today. And appreciate you making provision for us to be able to come. We're thankful for the good room, the blessings there. And so we enjoyed time together yesterday with Farrell and Melissa. And I believe we beat them, didn't we? Anyway, we played a game, and we'll let that go out as it is. I know we didn't, but we got our numbers down first, didn't we? So they was the runner up, even though they had more. All right. Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. The Bible said it came to pass after these things. What things? Well, in verse 33 of the prior verse, it says that Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abram sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Now there's two aspects, two thoughts about tempt. If you will, and certainly God did not tempt Abraham with evil.
Right.
What He did, He tried him.
Yep.
And so He said, when God called unto him, He said, Abraham, and He said, Behold, here I am. And He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you today to thank you for your care and strength and for the privilege to be back here in this pulpit. I thank you, dear Lord, for the places that you've afforded us to preach and the places that you've afforded us to worship. I thank you, dear Father, that you have a place for us. May we ever find our place where your place is. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help me today as I preach the word of God. May your hand of blessing be upon us, and God, that you'll encourage your people and strengthen each one. I pray that you'll be glorified. And Father, should there be one or more that would be under the sound of our voice or that hear this message, that would be lost, I pray, dear Father, work in their hearts, show them their need, bring them to you today, and we'll thank you for what you do. Lord, thank you again, for this 250th year of the birth of our nation. I bless you for it. I pray, dear God, that the days ahead will be even greater as we turn more to you and let you lead us in these days. Dear God, give the leaders of our nation wisdom in how to lead. I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help them to be a leader that would be led by you. Lord, you know the needs. Save those that are among our leaders that are lost and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. And even as you have done in the past, even people that may not have known you in the free pardon of sin, yet knew you as God, and may they recognize you as God and lead us as your people to greater heights to thy glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you just a little while today on the this thought of what Isaac saw in his father. What Isaac saw in his father. And can I tell you today that the younger generation coming up needs to see some things in the older generation. They need to see some things. Children need to see some things in their parents. They need to see some things and be led in the right way. You can tell young'uns all you want to tell them about what they should do, but they'll see what you do, and they will more than likely follow what you do. Not just in public, but what you do privately, how you conduct yourself has a great effect upon those that are younger than we are. And the first thing I want you to notice is that in this scripture, in verse 1, that Abraham made himself available to God.
Amen.
The Bible says that it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. Notice this. It seems like without any hesitation, the Bible says, and he, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I'm available. Here I am, God. What is it you want? What is it you want of me? My, today, how that all of us, from the younger generation to the older, how we need to make ourselves available unto God.
Amen.
Here I am. And God begins to speak. Listen, unless you make yourself available unto God, God is not going to take you much further. He's not going to show you much more than what He's already shown you. If you do not make yourself available unto God. Listen, when this happened, then for a little while, it looks like God went silent. When you read the last few books of the Old Testament, then you find God going silent. And for 400 years, they say, in that intertestamental time, God did not speak. But they kept following God. Do you know what had happened just prior to that? A revival had broken out, and they had been, God had worked, and they had been used, and although there was troubles and things like that, that revival kept them 400 years until the Lord came. I want to tell you today that God went silent, and Abraham went home. And so he said, behold, here I am. And he said, this is what God said now, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Abraham does not say anything to that. Imagine. I can think that if it had been me, I believe I'd have tried to argue a bit with God.
Yep.
I mean, you say, preacher, why would you say that? Because I've been accustomed to do that a time or two. You see, I know that I never had anything this pressing, this hard, that God told me to do. But there was some things that I felt like that God led me to do. And I questioned, God, is this you?
Right.
Is this really what you want? God, could you not use somebody else?
Yep.
Listen, when God was calling me to preach, I'd name people to God that was that He should choose instead of me. I felt like they was better equipped. I felt like that they could be more available,
right.
That they could be more useful. But God went silent.
Yep.
He had spoken. He didn't give me any other direction. And so that's the way it is with Abraham. So God goes silent and Abraham goes home. But he don't just go home and quit. He goes home and prepares.
That's right.
He goes home and get ready. And so think about this now. What do you think that Isaac would have seen on his father's face that morning? I don't know where Isaac was with Abraham at this time when God spoke to him, I kind of have it in my mind, you know, sometimes when you're reading a scripture, you build a thought of how that you think things are. And I suspect that this could have been a time where that God and Abraham was communing together without anyone around.
Right.
And God began to deal with Abraham, and God tells Abraham this hard thing as far as looking at it from a human standpoint.
Yep.
And so Abraham goes home. Why did he go home? I think he went home to get Isaac and to get the wood and to get prepared to go. He was not making a detour. I don't know exactly where Abraham was. It could have been that home was between where he was when God spoke to him and where God told him to go. It could have been that. So he could have been making a beeline for it. I don't know. I don't know that there's any way to figure that out. But whatever reason, Abraham went home, and the Bible says in verse 3, by the way, he might have been home when God spoke to him.
Sure.
But in verse 3, the Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He made preparation early. He got a fresh start.
Yep.
He got a start early in the morning.
Amen.
Now, you can speculate on why that he got an early start. It could have been that he didn't want to tell Sarah what he was about to do.
Yep.
He got up and left before she got up. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But it could have been that because, and I believe this is the real reason, Abraham wanted to get on with what God said.
Yep.
He was not hesitating. He did not hesitate when God spoke to him. He answered.
Yep.
He did not hesitate. I don't see any hesitation. I don't see any slowness of steps as he went to carry out what God said for him to do. No wonder Abraham is called the friend of God. No wonder that Abraham is the father, called the father of the faithful in the way that he conducted himself. Listen, our children, those around us, they look at us, they see things, they recognize things in our life without us saying anything. How important it is that our actions show what our lips say. How important that it is. Years ago, Ann and I had a couple to visit us when we was living in Kansas. The first church we started was in Washington, Kansas, and we was living out in the country, and they came to visit us. The wife had grown up about a half a mile from where I grew up, and she began to ask me some questions. She said when her grandmother, at her funeral, she said the preacher got up and was talking about some things and saying some things about her grandmother. And she said, this is the honest truth. I felt like I ought to go up and look in the casket and see if that was my grandmother he is talking about. He was building a flowery thing, and she had not seen it that way.
Right.
And I said to her, I said, listen, don't feel bad about that pastor. I do not believe, I knew the pastor. I knew him well. I said, I do not believe that he would have built her up. He would not have said what he did not believe about her. But sometimes, you see, some people say things in public, and maybe they're not really known as their family knows them.
Right.
Like maybe two different people. I don't believe Abraham was like that.
No.
You see, Isaac saw in his dad, Abraham, he saw a man that what he said was what he done.
Amen.
That what his actions was what he believed. He saw that, and how we need to see those things today. But God goes silent. Abraham goes home. And we don't know everything that went on. We don't know what kind of outward appearance Abraham put on or all of this. But nobody, if you will, maybe they didn't dare ask him anything. Eventually, his son does ask him some things, but not to start with. And it goes on. And we don't know where Abraham discussed this with his family or whether he just kept it to himself. And so he goes on and all of that. And so Isaac, what Isaac sees in his father, he sees a father that is preparing to obey God.
Amen.
Don't you hope that you that are still have your children at home, don't you hope that they see you preparing to worship and obey your God?
Amen.
And even us that have our children grown, and now Ann and I are enjoying not only the next generation but the next.
Yeah.
And so as we see these things, I hope our children, our grandchildren, our great grandchildren, I hope they're seeing something in us, that what we've said, our actions prove out to what we are saying and what we're acting, that if we obey God, if we love God, if we walk with God, if we believe in being faithful to God, I pray that they're seeing that in our lives. I believe Isaac saw that in Abraham's life. And so he saw a father that was preparing to worship God. He began to, the Bible says, in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood. He split the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place that God had told him. And so then, on the third day, it's a 3-day journey apparently, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And so he had seen him do the things that was necessary. I don't believe that we ought to wait until Sunday morning and then say, honey, I don't have a clean shirt. I don't have a shirt that's ironed. I don't have this or I don't have that. some men wouldn't think about that anyway. But anyway, you'll know that my wife, I raised her good, or she did me. Anyway, what a blessing! But we prepare.
Right.
We prepare. I try to decide on, even though it's just Ann and I, and we've got a bathroom each that we can prepare ourselves the next morning. We begin to prepare. Prepare before Sunday morning.
Right.
We begin to prepare to worship.
Yep.
Do you?
Right.
How many times this week have you prayed for this service?
Amen.
How many times have you looked at the Word of God and looked at it and asked God to help you to prepare yourself for worship?
Right.
And ask God to prepare your preacher or whoever would stand in the pulpit, who would stand in the place to teach or to preach. How many times this week have you asked God to prepare them, to prepare their heart, and prepare your heart for real worship?
Right.
Knowing that you're going there, I don't know where Abraham knew it was on the third day that he would see that place. And I don't know how he knew when he came to it, but God does reveal some things to us as we go in this life, as we follow him, and it is a step-by-step thing.
Amen.
And so as they saw him, as Isaac would have seen him cleave the wood, as he would have seen him saddle his ass, as he had seen him give command to the two young men that was going with him, and maybe some things that they were to do and such as that. And then he seen him go and he went with him and he saw some fruit coming out of what Abraham was going to do.
Amen.
And certainly today, Abraham did something for God. There were some actions that Isaac saw in Abraham's life.
Amen.
That was toward the worship of God. In verse 4, Abraham sees the place, and I have no doubt that Isaac would have saw that place as well. Abraham did not say to his son, as far as we can read in the scriptures, he didn't say, son, that's the place you're going to die. That's the place I'm going to take you and kill you, because that's what God said. But Isaac sees his father find the place that God had for him. Let me ask you this question, fathers, and not just fathers, but let me ask you this question, those of you that are saved by the grace of God. Has others that are coming behind you, have they seen you find the place that God has for you in this life? Have they seen the place to where that it would take some sacrifice on your part to worship God in spirit and in truth? To be obedient to God, has it required something of you that might be hard? Those coming behind us need to see these things.
Amen.
Brother Hall said one time in the past that he felt like when he pastored here, that he was like David, that he fought the battles to keep the things going. Some of you remember that, and he did. I know some of the things that that he battled, and we have much to look back and to give thanks unto God for those that have come before us, to where we can be where we are now and enjoy what we have now. But listen, it's not time for us to lay aside the things. It's time for us to go on. It's our time. Who knows but what it's this that we're here for this time. Listen, the future of Island Ford Baptist Church, the future of the radio stations and the ministry that God has given Island Ford Baptist Church, the future lies with you that are members here that profess the name of God. Brother Hall, Mrs. Hall, and the many that's come before you, they cannot do any more. Although they have prepared the way, they have shown you the way.
Yep.
Now, let's go on to the glory of God.
Amen.
To do what's needful in these days. Isaac sees his father separate himself. In verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass. He's going to have to leave some behind. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to lead others on behind you, if you're going to do right before God, if you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, there's going to be some people and some things that you're going to have to separate yourself from. That's just fact. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.
Amen.
Isaac and those two young men could see something from what Abraham said. Listen, it said to them the way that he put this. It said, me and my son, me and the lad are going up there to worship, and we are going to come again to you. He said, I believe there's a resurrection. He believed in the resurrection of his son there on that. I do not know. I do not suspect that Abraham thought it would turn out the way that he did. I would suspect that Abraham thought, I'm just going to have to trust God in this. This is something I don't know. I've never been down this road before. I've never come to this point before. But God's never failed me before. He will not fail me now. And so he went on knowing that he was going to come back with his son. And so Isaac saw his father separate himself. Isaac saw his father go further. Isaac saw his father lead him on to greater heights, to the glory and honor of God. Not just up the mountain, but in greater heights in worshiping God. Isaac saw his father declare that we are going to worship.
Amen.
We are going to worship. Listen, it's wonderful. Over the years, as I've pastored and started churches, We've seen kids come. We've seen parents that have entrusted their children to us and to take them. But it's a lot better when we see the parents bring their children and together worship God. By the way, some of those, I just got word not long ago that two children that was in the church at Larned when we was there, they are both of them in jail. I do not know the crimes that they've committed, but the mother contacted us for prayer. Listen, if mom and dad had taken those children to church instead of letting me come and get them, and sometimes we had to prepare them after they got there to look to where they wouldn't be embarrassed. I've had different things to happen. Children that smelled like dogs when they came, and we had to be kind to them and have them to spray their clothes and different things like that. We've given them clothes and things like that. Why? So they wouldn't be embarrassed and so they would not come. Mom and Dad didn't care, and we tried to show them we did. But some of them, many of them, because Mom and Dad didn't come, we couldn't lead them but so far. Some of them, thank God, got saved.
Amen.
I praise God for that. But listen, some of them are in the world today.
Yep.
And mom and dad don't know what went wrong.
Yes.
And it all started at home.
Yep.
Instead of in the church. Well, Abraham went on. And there was more spiritual preparation. If you look, listen, it's not just that one thing happens. Abraham just didn't say, here I am, and that was it. In verse 6, Abraham took the wood. He had already clave the wood. He took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went up, both of them together. And so we see there's more spiritual preparation. There's still reading the Bible. They're still praying. They're still living for God.
Right.
They're still taking a stand. They're still having to say no to the children. And sometimes saying yes. But sometimes, every once in a while, Farrell and Barry would want to go somewhere or do something. And I'd say no. And they'd say, Daddy, everybody's doing it. And I said, no, they're not. You're not.
That's right.
You're not going to do it. I wasn't trying to be mean. I wasn't trying to be mean. But I also wasn't trying to be their friend. I was trying to be their parent. I was trying to lead them in the right way. I believe God had shown me the right way. And though I fail many times, I want to tell you today that I thank God for having took a stand. And I thank God for a dad and mom before me that took a stand. And I bless the name of the Lord for it. But Isaac saw his son lay the burden of preparation upon him. And how we need to do that today to those that are coming up behind us. We need to lay the burden of preparation upon them. We say about our children, you're the future of the church. And sometimes we say you're the future church, but you're the future of the church. You may already be a part of the church if you were saved at a young age. But you need to learn, you need to grow, and you need to be willing to take a stand and take it kindly and take it lovingly and take it firmly based upon the Word of God.
Amen.
Be just as narrow-minded as that Bible is right there.
Amen.
But don't be so narrow-minded that you can't understand that there could be something else to look at that we've failed yet to grow into. Now, I'm not talking about compromising the Word of God. I'm not talking about a change of worship, a change of songs, and different things like this. But we use technology today in a way, or could use it even in a better way, but we use it in ways that we never thought of before.
Yep.
I told Farrell this last night. I remember the first time a pastor told me that he kept his sermons on computer. I didn't even have a computer. I had never turned a computer on at that time. And I jokingly said, I can just see it now, and I call that preacher's name. I said, I can see it just now, him standing in the pulpit on Sunday morning and say, folk, I've got a message, but it's in my computer and I can't get it out. There has to be a little element of truth in things to make it funny.
Yeah.
And that can happen. So we need to make preparation.
Right.
We need to prepare. And all of this. And Abraham prepared. And he did more spiritual preparation as was needed. And so he laid on Isaac the materials that it would take for them to worship together. And they went up, both of them together, to worship. They didn't send him. He didn't say, I'm going here and you can go there. He took him with him. And so then Isaac has some questions. And can I tell you today that if we as God's people, if we live godly, holy lives, there's going to be some questions that are going to be asked. Some of them is going to be hard to answer. Some of them might just be that we have to say, I don't know. I've not gotten that far yet. But answer the questions honestly. That's what we did with our children. We've sought to answer them as they would ask questions when they were young. We sought to answer them and answer them on the level that we felt like that they could understand. And we never pressed them, and we never pushed them, and we never tried to shame them into something as far as believing on the Lord. And I thank God that our boys were saved at young ages. But not as babies, by the way. They did come to a time of knowing right from wrong.
Right.
And so Isaac had some questions, and Abraham didn't answer them maybe the way Isaac thought that he would. But I hear there that in verse 7, and Isaac said unto Abraham his father, and said, Abraham spake unto Abraham his father, excuse me, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I. You see, here's a father making himself available to his son with some unanswered questions that the son had. And instead of just shutting him up, he listened to him. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? I've often thought about this. I wonder if Isaac, like most teenagers are, felt like he knew more than his father. He said, Dad's gotten old and he's forgotten the most important thing. He's forgotten to take a sacrifice. He's forgotten to take a lamb. Dad's forgotten this. He said, Dad, where's it at? And Abraham answered and said, verse 8, my son, God will provide himself a burnt offering.
Amen.
So they went both of them together. Did he say God will provide himself a sacrifice? Or did he say God will provide himself a sacrifice? Will himself be a sacrifice? He was. He was. God the Father sent his son, and therefore God became the very sacrifice. But the ram that was caught in the thicket, imagine he's caught by his horns. The only place that would not have caused him to have a blemish.
That's right.
And so there it was. And God provided some questions by Isaac. And so Abraham answered. And they went on both of them together. Isaac saw the faithfulness of his father. And he saw the faithfulness of his father's God. Some things Isaac saw in Abraham. What do you see? Or more importantly, let me ask you this. What does your children, parents, older Christians, what does those coming up behind us see? Do they see, as the old saying is, do they see at the dinner table on Sunday? Do they hear having fried preacher for lunch? Do they hear? They listen. You may not always agree with those in authority,
right,
whether it be pastor or whoever, but you need to be careful of what you say before your children. You need to recognize authority, and they need to see you yielding to authority.
Amen.
Listen, you as fathers, you are the authority. When Dad's gone, Mom's the authority.
Yep.
But listen, there is authority in the home. But everyone should be submissive to authority as well.
Amen.
Even those in authority. What are they seeing in your life? Isaac saw a father that loved God, that put God in his rightful place, that led his family to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
What are people seeing in our lives
Amen.
Today?
Thank you, Father, honor your word today, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.